by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I've entitled the message, Then Will I Hear. Well, I want God to hear. I want Him to hear, and I want Him to do what He said here. And it's amazing how we all have different ideas of how to get God to hear. And yet, we don't really need to have any other idea than simply what He said. He makes it very clear to us. So I want to talk to you about those words, Then Will I Hear. Father, I pray that You will speak to our hearts. And Father, that You will hear our prayers as we pray for many, many things throughout this room. Some are praying and intently praying for our nation, and we should all be doing that. Some, Lord, are praying for our church and intently praying for our church, for our city, for our county. Many have personal prayer requests and needs where, God, You have to do it. They've exhausted their own efforts, and now, Lord, You have to work a miracle. And certainly I know they want You to hear their prayer. And Lord, whatever the needs are represented here, I just ask that You would hear and that You would do exactly what You said You'd do. Help us to do right. Help us to listen now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Temple has been built. Chapter 6 talks about Solomon's praying and talking to God. And, of course, the temple is a place of communicating with God. You and I, as Christians, if you're saved today, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is, we're made to communicate with God. We're made to talk to Him. He made us so that we could communicate, and we should communicate with Him and talk to Him. And the thing that we see in chapter 6 is we see Solomon basically saying, God, please listen. God, please hear me. Hear from heaven. And in verse 40 of chapter 6, he actually goes as far as to say, Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I mean, he is wanting God to do something. Now, again, I wonder how many here are really wanting God to do something. Now, I know that the context of chapter 7 and verse 14 is that God will heal the land. And that's what He says, heal their land. But I also know that God wants to heal your land as well. I know that God wants to meet that need, and God wants to take care of that problem, and God wants to answer your prayer. And in chapter 7 and verse 1, we see Solomon, it looks like, as Solomon's been praying in chapter 6, when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And it would seem to me that's a good thing. I wonder what happens when we pray. I wonder if we're actually doing all that we're supposed to do in this formula that says, then will I hear from heaven. I want God to hear from heaven. I hope that you want God to hear from heaven. Because we need to pray for our land. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for the lost. We need God to do something in our lives. And we need God to do something, certainly, in this land. And as we watch so many things going on in our world today, we recognize God's got to do something. We need God to work. And I want to just show you three things about this passage that seems to me ends up with God hearing from heaven. He says, then will I hear. And when I hear, He says, I'll do what I said I would do. And do you want Him to hear today? Do you want Him to hear what you've got to say? Three things I want to give to you that talk about, then will I hear from heaven. Number one, we see the people. The people. And it's very, very clear in verse 14, if my people.
And we get hung up sometimes on what everybody else is doing. You know, we get, the homosexual crowd's doing this, and the abortion crowd's doing that, and the Muslims are doing, you know, and boy, they're causing that. But God, none of that has anything to do with what God says is going to cause Him to hear from heaven. Do you understand? It has nothing to do. You say, but they're doing this, but it has nothing to do with God hearing you from heaven. Absolutely nothing. Well, but there's a law that says, you know, that we don't have prayer in the public schools. Do you listen to me? It has nothing to do with God hearing you from heaven. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, but everybody's living, but that has nothing to do with you and I. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's Christians. He doesn't say if the Sodomites will get saved or get right or what. He doesn't say, he says, if my people. He doesn't say if those that are performing murderous abortions will. He doesn't say, he says, if my people, which are called by my name. See, he's talking to us. We are the people here. Amen. You say, well, you know, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Then you are the people. I mean, He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to hear from heaven. He wants to do something, but we're the ones. We can make every excuse in the world, folks. We really can. Well, the economy. Okay, but He doesn't say anything. He just says, if my people, which are called by my name. The economy has affected all of us. There's no question about that. But that isn't what He's saying. Hey, listen, do you want God to hear from heaven? Do you want something to happen in your prayer life? Do you want God to hear us as we pray for our land? Do you want God to hear as you pray for that loved one? Do you want God to hear as you pray for the lost? Hey, listen. Quit looking at everybody else. Quit going to CNN and seeing all the trouble that's going on in the world. This has nothing to do with the rest of the world. It has everything to do with my people, He said. His people called by His name. Hey, Christian. Christ-like. My people. And it's you and I. The people here. We are the ones that He's talking about. Nowhere in here does it talk about all those others that maybe we've made excuses for all these years. Well, yeah, but the laws are, but it has nothing to do with that. And by the way, if you go to public school, did you know you still can pray? Anytime you want to pray. You can talk to God anytime. I talk to God while I'm driving my car. You say, you bow your head and close your... No, I just talk to God. You don't have to close your eyes when you talk to God. I talk to God many, many times with my eyes wide open. You can talk to God. If my people, which are called by my name... Listen, folks, the first step to God hearing from heaven is to recognize... You are the one who can talk to Him if you're saved. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. And you've never been born again. You've never recognized your need to call upon the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and save you. You ought to do that today. You know, you have needs too, and you have problems too, and you have issues in your life. But I'm telling you this, if you're not saved today, you're not even included in this. But if you are saved, that's you. That's me. If my people. That's us. My people, which are called by my name. Number one, the people. Number two is the prescription. It's very, very simple, honestly. I mean, it's just so clear. God says, here is the prescription. Here's what you need to do. He said, you want an answer to your prayer? You want me to hear your prayer? You want me to do something? You want me to take care of this land? You want me to have an impact on the election? You want me to have an impact on your finances? You want me to switch this economy? Whatever it is. You want me to save your loved one? You want me to work in that person's heart? He says, this is the prescription right here. It amazes me, though, how, and by the way, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, and I've preached from it, and you've preached from it, and you've heard it, and you've, but the truth of the matter is, it is that simple. It's that simple that we simply look at the prescription. I don't know how many times my doctor says, you follow this prescription and everything's going to be all right. I don't know if I like that. Usually the prescription my doctor has given over the years is exercise. I remember I've had terrible back problems in the past. And Dr. Brown and Dr. Geetson both, they say, well, are you exercising? I don't want to hear that stuff. You know, Dr. Brown, he gave me these simple exercises, and then every week I would see him, and he'd say, are you doing the exercises? You know, and I kind of feel bad because I expect him when he comes to church, bless God, you do what I say, and when I go over in his office, I'm supposed to do what he says. Well, finally, I started doing the exercises. Honestly, I mean, in my mind, okay, my back hurts, I'm going to exercise, it's just going to hurt more. No, you know what? He was right. He said, do the prescription. Do what I'm telling you to do. Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is. And he was right. And boy, over and over, hey, you know, are you walking? Are you exercising? Are you doing those? Yes, sir, I am. How's things going? Things are good. Things are good. You know what, folks? If we'll just follow God's prescription, amen? Follow God's prescription. It's about three things. Capital A, it's about the right attitude. Right attitude. What's that? Well, it says here, shall humble themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, we think we've got everything all figured out, and we don't even have a clue. Shall humble themselves. Who? His people. Well, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's the communists. It's Islam. It's the homosexual. It's the abortionists. Listen, my people, he said, humble themselves. There have been days and weeks and months and years where we had to have God do something. Remember? You've had times in your life you had to have God do it, but then we get pretty self-sufficient. And so he says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Now, it's interesting, verse 13, he said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. He said, if I bring drought, destruction, or disease. Chapter 6 talks about being defeated by the enemies. He says, if I bring all those things into your life, you'll be humbled. He said, if I bring drought in, you know, we've not figured out how to produce water in the millions of gallons stage. How about all the oil in the water down in the Gulf of Mexico? What if God just decided to put holes all over all the water in the world, and all that oil come up into all the water? We'd have a little problem, wouldn't we? You say, oh, well, it'd be okay because it'd rain fresh water. That's where water comes from. That's where the rain comes from. It'd rain oily water. It'd be exciting, wouldn't it? I'm just saying, that's just one example. I mean, people, oh, what are we going to do? And we watch gallons and gallons and gallons. There's, you know, it's like, you know, God could have just stuck his finger in there and just closed that thing up. But God could easily dig it back out. And he could put another hole over here and another hole over there. And we could have oil coming up all over the place. We're rich! And we'd all die of thirst. I'm just saying, we don't have any way to produce water. Isn't that humbling to need water? You ever been really thirsty? I'm talking about really thirsty. You know, I mean, you're real thirsty. And what am I going to do? Yeah. He talked about drought. He talked about the locusts devouring the land. You know? And if the locusts devour the land and eat all the food, we haven't figured out a way to produce food. Without God. Without the land, without a way. I mean, if it's all destroyed, again, that's a humbling thing. You ever been really hungry? Oh, yeah, right now. I mean, really hungry. That's a humbling thing, isn't it? By the way, that's one of the big parts of fasting, is to be so hungry and to find out just what you are. But when you're really hungry and you get whiny and you know and you just oh I'm stuck you know, boy you're not so tough, right? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You kind of forget about self-reliance then. God said, I'll there won't be any rain. He says, I'll send the locusts to devour the land. Or he says, I might send pestilence among my people. My people. That's us. Amen. He says, I'm gonna send disease. You know, come on. Everybody here. We go to the doctor or we don't go to the doctor because we don't want to hear what he's going to say. Right? That C word scares us. Oh, yeah, because we've watched people, we know people with cancer. Yeah. And we can't stop it. We can't stop it. And people, I had a very, very good friend, died, 27 years old, heart just stopped. Never did. There was never an explanation, just his heart stopped. He was 27 years old. Well, can't we figure out how to... When God says it's time, we can't figure anything out. God says, disease. If I give you a disease... I mean, come on, we watched him heal Hezekiah of a disease, and we've seen him heal, you know, others in the Bible of disease. But on the other side of that, people die of diseases too, and there's nothing we can do. Well, doctors are getting smarter, but doctors aren't getting smart enough. Because you know what? Our bodies die. And it's kind of a good thing, because think how populated the earth would be. Yeah? I'm just saying, we haven't figured it out. It is humbling. Should be. You know, of all the professions in the world, you would think doctors would be the most humble people. But I find in many, many cases, not all doctors, but in many cases, they just say, well, I'm not going to tell you, you wouldn't understand. That's because you don't have a clue. But see, humility, he says. Humility. In chapter 6, he talked about being defeated by a more powerful enemy. Understand this. Sometimes God allows us to be humbled if we're not willing to humble ourselves. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that are very humiliating. You say, I've never been so humiliated. And sometimes he does that because maybe you weren't willing to humble yourself. I go back to the Twin Towers being destroyed. 9/11, 2001. And it was a humbling thing for the United States of America. It was, I mean, people were looking to God again. And then it wasn't long and they kind of forgot God again. But again, it's my people. You say, well, if the politicians would just humble themselves. But that isn't what he said. He said, you and I. Humble themselves. We need a reminder often that we need God. You need a reminder that you need God. I'm telling you, Berean Baptist Church, we need to be reminded we need God. I'm not talking about we need religion. I'm talking about we need God. I'm not talking about we need buildings and we need lands and we need... Listen, we need God. In our ministry, in our lives. We need God. God's people were in the wilderness and things were bad. They needed God and God provided. But when things became good, they forgot God. Read it. Psalm 106. I mean, things are bad and they're in the wilderness. Oh God, please don't let us die out here. And God takes care of them. And then all of a sudden they're taken care of and it's like, look what we did. How sad. We need God. We need God. I mean, America, and when Christians came over, and you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving. God's people that came to worship God and to have church the way God wanted it to be and God commanded it to be, and God's people, many of them died and suffered great tragedies. And they needed God. Today, you can't even get people to use the word Thanksgiving, hardly. We'll call it anything but that.
Well, it's the harvest celebration.
Why? Because it all goes back to who are we going to be thankful to? And humanism says it's all about man. Humanism says man is the measure of all things. And look what we've done in America. Folks, honestly, God has put us here, and God has helped us to be what we are. Come on. Read the history books, if you can find an accurate one. And you'll see God everywhere. Everywhere as America was birthed. And when things were bad, they needed God. But I'm mostly interested in your life. I mean, I know as far as a church, I remember having absolutely nothing because we started a church. We had no chairs. We had no songbooks. We had nothing. We bought everything. I remember after the service on a Sunday night when our church first started, and we had two men in the church, and then myself, and the offering was counted. It didn't really take very long back then. And the offering was counted, and I said, now, here's a couple other bills. What are we going to do? And between the three of us, we split however much that was, and that's how we paid for a stand that held a plant. And something else. I remember one time we had to do it that way. And those days it was like, oh God, please, we've got to have your help. But then we get big buildings, and we get nice properties, and all of a sudden it's like, well, everything's good. And that's why God says humble themselves. Well, I've been saved, you know, all these years. I've got things figured out. You're in a dangerous place when you have things figured out. If you think you have things figured out right now, the one thing you have not figured out is you need God. You have to have God. You really do. You remember spending half a night or maybe a whole night up with God, begging God, crying to God. And he heard, and he answered. But it's been a long time. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long? See, the problem is, it goes back to Romans, neither were they thankful. All of a sudden, we get the idea that we did something great. Sunday school teacher gets the idea, I did something great. A church membership gets the idea, look what we did. A junior church worker, you know, hey, here's what I did. A soloist, here's what I did. Come on, don't you remember? It's not very hard for me to go back in my mind to that little office that we were trying to remodel, and how many times just begging and pleading, God, please. God, don't let me mess up. I remember counseling with people, and God, please help me to give them the right advice. Because here's the thing about humility. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You know, true humility leads to asking. Shall humble themselves and pray. And so as I think of the prescription, God says, hey, I want to answer your prayer. I want to hear your prayer, and I want to hear it from heaven. He says, first of all, here's the prescription. Number one is the right attitude, but the next thing is the right asking. You know, without humility, we don't even ask. There's folks all over this room trying to figure it out. You know, I got to figure it out. Let me get my calculator. I'll calculate it out. Let me get some books and study up on it. I'll figure this thing out. Hey, what about going to God? But see, we're not humble enough. We haven't got to the place where I guess there's just nowhere else to turn. And so we come to the right asking. And prayer is asking. That's exactly what it means to ask. And the Bible's very clear. Ye have not because ye ask not. You have not. We think that's about some cute little thing. No, it's about big things. It's about important things. It's life and death matters. It's souls being saved. It's every part of our lives. You have not because you ask not. It's you have not peace because you ask not. It's you have not finances because you ask. It's anything and everything. But humility causes us, God, I've got to ask. Have you ever said this about a situation? I would ask them, but I'm just too proud. Maybe you haven't said it, but you've thought it. Maybe somebody told you that. Listen to me. Humility, the right attitude, brings the right asking. God, please, 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 please. Solomon, read chapter 6 sometime. Over and over. Please, God, hear and do. God, please, hear me. And do this. God, please, please, please. We have this idea that God, He just automatically hears us. My Bible says if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I mean, there are occasions where we just need to get on our face before Him. Oh, God, please, hear me. Hear me. And you know, the best thing in the world, and I'm so glad it's like this, humble themselves, pray, and what's it say? Seek my face. Boy, that is the best thing in the world. Seek my, God says, seek my face. God says, I want to look you in the eyes. Seek my face, God says. It's always better to ask in person, amen. Adam and Eve hid from the face of God. Why? Oh, because they were ashamed. The Bible says because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. What's that mean? That means with confidence. But again, if it's in yourself, you're in trouble. You know, boy, God sure is fortunate to have me. You're headed for a rocky road. But we can come in the blood of Jesus. And we don't have to be ashamed. And we don't have to be ashamed of our sin. He's forgiven us of our sin if we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess, we were talking, Brother Dale Stewart preached about the blood of Jesus in chapel the other day. And I got up and I talked about a no punishment pass. As if I was going to make one for the school, which is a great idea. It really is. But the blood of Jesus is a no punishment pass. And all that goes along with it is simply this. You just say, God, I was wrong. What I did was sin according to your word. That's confession. What I did was a sin, God. Please forgive me. Done. Done. It doesn't mean that there's not consequences from what we do, but it, you know what? It, with the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm forgiven. And then I can seek His face. Chapter 6, verse 35, and Solomon throughout chapter 6, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. And thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. Hey, there you go. There's confession. If they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they've carried them captives and pray toward their land which thou gave us unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I built for thy name. I mean, there you have confession. It's no wonder that God told Solomon, I've heard thy prayer. And then he gave the prescription to hear everyone's prayers from heaven. But you know, if we're praying and we're not confessing, again, confess is what they did in chapter 6 and what was told. Confessing is to say, God, I've sinned against you, and here's what it is. It's wrong. I know it's wrong. Confessing is to say, God, I failed you here. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm thinking these thoughts. I'm sorry I'm doing these things. God, I know it's wrong. You're not really seeking God's face. Maybe you're just being ritualistic. Maybe you're just going through rituals of other large denominational religions rather than really seeking God to do something. It's the right asking. The right asking. But you're not going to have the right asking unless you have the right attitude. And the attitude of humility. It's why America is in the mess that it's in today. It's not, hey, America has lots of Christians. Amen. I don't know what the percentage is of real Christians, but I know there's a lot of Christians. Come on, you know lots of Christians. But we think we've got it all figured out. And we don't have the right attitude of humility, and therefore we don't have the right asking. Again, it is a humility asking. God, please. God, I've got to have your help. God, please. The right asking, number 3, or capital C, is the right action. And this really is a part that's left out most of the time. In fact, as soon as I read this verse, I guarantee there was somebody, oh, brother, here we go. And it's where you should come in your prayer life, where you're really honest with God. Because to confess something is one thing, and we're supposed to do that, and that's the right thing. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. By the way, again, this is us. Now, you might pray and say, God, we're sorry. As Americans, we've allowed abortion. And God, I'm sorry. As an American, I've allowed immorality all over the world and or all over the country, and things are a mess. And we can certainly get into that, but there's got to be that time where you get alone with God and say, God, here's what I've done. And I confess, this is wrong. But you know what? God's looking for something else to go along with that. What's that? He's looking for action. And you know what that is? He says, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear. And that's the part we don't like. Turn. That's easy to confess, right? Actually, it's not, because again, our pride gets in the way. But once we do confess, there is the next step. I'm amazed how many people, you know, they just say, well, just ask God, He'll do it. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because that's not His prescription. His prescription is there's a right attitude, that's humility. There's a right asking, that's to seek His face, and that means to confess. And then there's a right action that comes with that. What's that? Do right. Turn. Turn. Come on, folks. You know, there was a day you would have said, oh, God, I'll do anything for you to answer this prayer. But honestly, not many Christians do that anymore. Not many say that anymore. God, I would do anything for you to answer this prayer. Really? Well, would you quit watching that stuff? Would you quit listening to that stuff? Would you quit saying those things? Would you quit going to that place? Would you turn? Would you turn? Well, you say, but preacher, I confess. So do the Catholics. Don't get nervous. They go up to a little booth, and a little man is in the booth, and they'll say this, and I did this, 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 and I did this, and I did this. And the little man says, okay, go do this, and go do this, and go do this, and go do this, and everything's fine. And then the next day, they do it again. But it's okay, because they know they can go back and confess it again. And listen, we're not, that's not what God says we're supposed to. He says, turn from our wicked ways. Turn from it. You say, I got bitterness. It didn't turn from that bitterness. You say, I'm angry. Well, turn from that anger. You say, well, I've got a wicked mind. Turn from that wicked mind and all that is feeding that wicked mind. You've got to turn from those things. You've got to turn off that TV. You've got to turn off that internet. You've got to quit feeding that which you confess to God is wrong. You cannot feed that stuff. It's God says, I need you to turn from it. The truth of the matter is, there's so much cussing and gossip and lying and cheating and wrong shows and music and books and the internet and so much worldliness. Many churches are full of lot wannabes where we pitch our tent towards Sodom and say, I'm against all that, but it sure looks good. And we fill our minds and our hearts with it. Right. It's because of the right, we need to have the right action. Let's turn from it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Those times, initially after I got saved and I was at the altar, it was turning from something. It was my wicked life, and I was turning from it. But you know, that doesn't end in your life or mine. It's constant. And if I have the right attitude, humility, it will lead to the right asking. And it will lead to confession. And it will lead to the right action, and that is turning from it. There's folks all over, honestly, a crowd this size, there's people all over here. You're saying, why isn't God listening to me? Okay, analyze his prescription here and see if you're following it to a T. Come on, I'd walk out of the chiropractor sometime, and I'd say, I wonder why my back's not feeling better. And then those words came back to me, are you doing your exercises? Let me ask you, are you following the prescription? Yeah, you know, I've been real humble. Yeah, because things are really bad, and I confessed all my sin. Yeah, did you turn from it? Well, that's kind of tough. And that's our problem. Turn. Again, I'm not talking about turn from that which the pastor says or that which someone else says. I'm talking about what God spoke to you about. Turn. I'm talking about the thing you confess to him. I'm talking about the thing you know you should confess to him. I don't even know what it is. To try to list everything here would be impossible. We're all different. I'm just talking about what you know you need to turn from. You want to know why you're not getting your prayers answered? You want to know why our country, our world is in the mess it's in? It's because we aren't going to God and following the prescription. And God's people always have. And when they did, something happened. Read the book of Acts sometime. We have incorporated into our lives that which we turned from years ago when we were right with God and excited. The people, that's us. Can't blame anybody else. Can't blame all the wicked people out there. No, it's us, God's people. The prescription, the right attitude, right asking, right action. And the number three is the promise. And I love this. The promise. First of all, he hears. He says, then will I hear from heaven. He hears. I mean, God Almighty hears. There's no dead zone. Amen? There's no, I'm going to have to wait. There's not enough bars yet. No, he hears. He hears it all. There's no static. He hears it. When? When you come with humility, when you confess your sin, and when you turn. When you turn from that thing. God, I mean, it's like the windows of heaven are open. And God says, hey, I'm ready to do something. He hears from heaven. And then the second part of the promise is not only does he hear, but he heeds. Why? Because he always does what he says he'll do. He heeds. What's that? And will forgive their sin. Oh, you thought the biggest issue was the need that you have, right? That's not what he thinks the biggest issue is. He thinks the biggest issue is your sin. And you know what? It is. I thought it was my checkbook. I thought it was my health. I thought it was my loved one. I thought it was my country. I thought it was the election. I thought those were the big issues. No, no, no. The big issue is he forgives. Amen. He always keeps his word. If you'll come with humility, if you'll confess your sin, if you'll lay it down to him and you'll say, God, I'm turning from this thing. That doesn't mean it's a battle. That doesn't mean that it just is always victorious. I'm just saying you got to come to a place. Too many people are on an altar on Sunday and on Monday they're back in the sin again and you're not even trying to turn away from that thing. It's kind of a plan. Well, I'll pray about it. It's more than just praying about it. It is determining, I'm turning from this thing. I was praying not long ago. I needed God to do something absolutely a miraculous thing. I needed God to do something. And God spoke to my heart about a website. Many of you look at it. It's not a bad website, but it's a website. And I guarantee if I did a survey, I'd say probably 75% of the people in this room go to this website. And it's not a bad website. But God just spoke to my heart and said, now don't go to that website again. I said, Lord, now you know, there's nothing. He just said, that's it. I said, okay, God, if you're telling me not to, I shouldn't, and I confess it as wrong, and God, I'm turning from that site. You say, well, you know, that's got to be a tough... Listen to me. I want God to do something in my life. And I don't need a website that God says you don't need to be on. And you know what? When I went to him and confessed and said, God, I know I shouldn't be on this website because you put that in my heart. He always forgives. Always. He always keeps his word. He hears, he heeds. And then his promise, he heals. He heals. It says, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Our land. Do you understand? That's the only hope for our land called America. Do you understand that, folks? That's the only hope for this land. Okay, it does not rest on the Republican Party. Thank God. Okay, it does not rest on the Democratic Party. Not at all. I'm a Tea Party guy. Listen to me. It doesn't rest on the Tea Party movement. Not at all. Oh, you know, but don't say things like, preacher, we need. No, here's what we need. We need to follow his prescription. He said, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn. And if we don't, then we will have no healing in our land. We all say we want it. But the truth of the matter is, we don't want to follow the prescription. Dr. Brown, I sure wish this pain would go away. I really do. Are you doing your exercises? Pastor, let me give you a little flyer here. It has pictures of the exercises showing you exactly what to do. Well, you think I'm stupid or what? Yes, I do. You know why I think you're stupid? Because You want your back to quit hurting? I've told you how to make your back quit hurting. Now do it. Now it's, you know, it's not the Republican Party or the Tea Party. It's not more religion. That's not the key. It's God's people getting right with God. You say, what about my answer? Your answer is not even the issue. Although God says, I'll heal their land. But you know, the issue is you. The issue is me. The issue is every individual Christian being right with God. That is the issue. There, nothing is bigger than that. Well, I just want the election to go well. And you know, I want it to go well also. And I pray for it. And I pray that I vote right. Amen? And I pray that you vote right as well. But that's not the issue. You know what the issue is? The issue is the altar. The issue is our prayer time, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, when we get honest with God and say, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, this is sin. Oh God, what I'm thinking is wrong. And God, please help me to turn. I don't want to do that stuff. And then you fight the battle. And eventually you are free. Hey, it's when you quit smoking, that's how you quit smoking. It's when you quit drinking, that's how you quit drinking. It's when you quit cussing, that's how you quit cussing. But you know what? We've forgotten about all that stuff. Somehow we think we're just going to go to heaven and everything's going to be all right. I don't know. What do you want healed? What do you want healed? What do you want an answer for? What do you want done? What do you want? What do you want God to hear? You know what God wants to hear? He wants to hear you say, I have sinned. And I'm turning. Because I'm going to do right, God. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. How many here would say, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I think most of the folks here are Christians. There may be someone who's not. I trust you'll get saved today. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, we'll give you an opportunity to come and someone will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand, please. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Father, bless the invitation. Please help us to follow the prescription. Lord, we know we're your people. And you've given a prescription. And I believe with all my heart you'll keep your promise. Help us, Lord, please, to do what we need to do today. You've put your finger on our lives all over this room. I pray we'll do business in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. 293. 293 is you're all on the altar today. God's speaking to your heart. As we sing on the first verse, if you need to come, you come.
You have longed for sweet peace. And for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest, or be perfectly blessed, until all on the altar you lay. Is your
need to come. Folks are praying. If you need to come, confess. God, this is wrong. I do this and it's wrong. It's sin. I know it's sin.
God, I need you to forgive me. And God, I turn from it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to do my best not to do it. I'm wanting victory, God. If you need to come, God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Any others need to come? Folks are still praying. Amen. The other morning, Saturday morning, on Friday, I had gone and met with some old friends, some of the guys that I had not seen for 30-some years, and we went go-karting. On why this other guy, why he thought of that, I have no idea, but to be honest with you, I'm not used to being in that position. And anyway, we went to eat, And we were in a restaurant and everything, just having a good time talking about the old days. And, of course, I was talking about the Lord, and they were just kind of, wow. And but anyway, to make a long story short, in that restaurant there was music playing and everything, and not really a lot where we were, but I could hear it. But I went home and came home and went to bed that night. And Saturday morning about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I was singing this old song. I'm not going to tell you what it was. But I, the first thing I did was say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I don't want that in my mind. I don't want that in my heart. God, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Please, God, forgive me. Please forgive me. And help me to stay away from that stuff. Amen. And you know what? He did. And he does. Every time. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us carry it with us this week that it's the people. And when we hear the people so often, we want, oh yeah, that's them. But Lord, it's me. Father, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Lord, it's me standing in the need of confession. Lord, it's me standing in the need of seeking your forgiveness. Father, when we the people, your people, would truly seek your face, then follow the prescription that you've given to us, Lord. The right confession. The right attitude, the right action. Father, help us to realize this then, that you can fulfill your promise to hear and to forgive and to heal our land. Lord, may this message go with us each day, and may it be upon our hearts, and may we practice the prescription that you've given to us in our own hearts, in our own lives, and to share that with those around us and be the influence that we should be, the salt and the light that's needed so desperately in this land, in our community. Father, we thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit's convicting power. And Lord, may we yield to you today. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Bring us again together this evening, we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake.